Music.
Welcome to Chance Planning, the Jackie Chan podcast. I'm one third of your hosts, Big Daddy Matt, here with the Beast from the East Jordan and the Beast incarnate, Sonny Chang. Big day for Asia, guys. Big week in Asian wrestling.
Is that true?
Yeah, yes. That was Shinsuke Nakamura's theme song. It's a very good song.
I love that song.
I know the song. I don't really watch wrestling, but I have been known to play it in my car when I'm driving.
Yeah.
It's a very good driving song.
Well, it's also a good song to start our 12th episode of the podcast, in which we talk about Karate Kid.
Wait, what happened at Royal Rumble?
There were two Rumbles this week. It was the first ever women's Royal Rumble and also the regular men's Royal Rumble. And Shinsuke Nakamura won the men's, and Asuka, another Japanese woman, won the women's Rumble.
Another Japanese woman.
Another Japanese woman. Is this at all related to our podcast? Only in the most racist of ways, is it?
Yeah.
Related. But I'm excited because I like them both. It's been a big week for a big couple days for me so far, entertainment-wise.
I do like Shinsuke Nakamura, except he kind of looks like he's like a washed out drug addict.
I guess a little bit. He just really likes just kicking people in the face, and I can really relate to that.
He's the king of strong style.
Yeah.
It was a thing in New Japan Pro Wrestling. It just means he kicks people really hard in the face. I think his gimmick is supposed to be that he's like a drunken boxer or like a kind of drunken mob Yakuza enforcer, in a way. He's got that glazed look about him.
Yeah, something like that.
I think in America that just translates to he's an Asian guy. I don't think anybody gets that.
I guess
at
not.
Least,
I mean,
he
doesn't.
WWE.
He doesn't behave like any traditional Asian guy the WWE has ever had.
Oh, definitely not. Also, that he wins matches, unlike most of the Asian guys that they had in the past, which is cool.
He's definitely a lot more. He's not like a joke. Like, I kind of the thing that jumps out at me is the whole. I can't even remember the name of them, but the guys who like almost cut off. Valvinus's
Taka and
penis.
Funaki?
Yeah.
We
like,
cut
they
off your
pee-pee? Yeah, they were, like, just a joke. Like, a racist...
Wait.
Like, caricature.
They almost cut off Valvinus's dick?
Yeah. That was a show on Raw. They were gonna kidnap Valvinus and choppy your pee-pee, I think is the direct quote.
Those were the quotes, yeah.
What?
With
that is
a katana,
wild.
With like a real like a samurai sword.
Yeah,
like it was intense, and I don't know why it was called off, but I'm glad we've moved past those days.
Well, it was probably called off because no one ever intended to actually chop off Valvinus.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I don't remember
how it ended.
How it got stopped or anything like that.
Oh, I know. I think they made it so that he, like, did it and then they cut away and they just... Or maybe somebody broke it up. It doesn't really matter. Oh, man. Guys, can we do something a little different? Because I have... Instead of doing move talk, I've been thinking a lot about this. I was watching John Wick 2 a couple days ago because I've been drinking lots of kava tea. And I like to watch action movies when I'm doing kava tea.
I like kava tea.
Me too. It's been very good for my nerves.
It feels really weird when you drink it, but I enjoyed it, I think. I've only done it once, so I'd have to try it.
I don't think I've ever had it.
I get it from the just like in tee boxes, and then I just steep two of them, and then I trip balls. Yeah.
you would know if you had it, Sonny. It's like this tea leaf that
from
is
from Fiji.
It's from Fiji?
Yeah, it's a Fiji recipe.
Oh, the people I met who I went to their kava shop in Brooklyn, New York, they were from the Florida Keys, and they were like, "Yeah, it grows where we're from." And they were like, it's like a Florida Keys thing that they're bringing up. I don't, maybe it grows in both Fiji and the Florida Keys, but
I don't know if it grows. It's just the way that it's like you traditionally make it. You like kind of knead it with one of those things or whatever they're called.
When you a mortar and pestle?
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
All right.
It tastes like dirt.
It tastes like shit. The tea is fine. The tea is fine. The tea tastes like tea. So I've been watching John Wick. We all saw John Wick 2, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you know how it ends with him being like exiled from the Continental or whatever it's called, and everyone in the world is after him?
Uh-huh.
So here's my pitch for John Wick 3.
Spoilers,
I've been thinking about this. Spoilers, I don't care. So it starts, so it'll be fade in, but it's darkness. Pure darkness. And you hear like the sound of water swishing around.
Okay.
Like around him. And then you hear a dog's like panting, like the tongue out and breathing deeply.
Uh-huh.
And then eventually it stops and a single lighter turns on. And we see that John Wick has shipped himself in a big freighter to somewhere else because he can't take any planes or anything like that. And he and his dog have been shipped. So he gets out of this big boat. We have no idea where he is. It's totally crazy. He gets onto some docks and his dog is walking. And we hear a cat just in the distance. And we see the cat. The cat's looking at him. And as he's walking, just assorted so-and-sos are gathered, drunks and like people that are working the docks. And then as, because it's John Wick, we know that they're going to come after him. Like everyone is an assassin, apparently. He has no weapons or anything. He's totally not strapped. And he ends up getting like five guys come, breaks all of their noses and their perineums, just fucking cracks them to death. It's awesome. But then there's too many for him to handle. And you hear this cat meowing, meow, meow, in the distance. You don't know what the fuck is happening with this cat. Why is this cat mixed up so high in the like in the audio sync?
Yeah.
And then right when he's about to get killed, it looks like somebody just jumps down from the crates and beats the shit out of all of them. Mm-hmm. Like, really quick, breaks perineums. Maybe he even has a gun and he headshots all of them. He's just headshotting everybody. Brains are flying.
Uh-huh.
And we see the person takes off their hood, and it's Jackie Chan. And we see that they're in Hong Kong. And the plot would be that Jackie Chan was exiled from the Continental also. And there's a group of people that have been exiled, a specific group, and they're trying to survive and, like, take down the establishment.
Okay.
And that would be like, John Wick 3.
Is it actually Jackie Chan?
It's actually Jackie Chan. Like, instead of having the dog that John Wick has, he has a cat.
Interesting. I'd watch that.
Wait. So this other group of exiles... Like, are they another, like, are they star-studded? Like, do we have, like,
that was
Wesley
the question
Snipes?
I was going to ask. I was going to say, if you had to have four of them, a Beatles cavalry of exiled action stars that, like Keanu, crossed the line a little too much and had to escape, what are your other two picks?
Which actors would play
this
them?
This is or just actresses, the Expendables. Yeah.
It's very similar to The Expendables, but it's better because it's John Wick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, aren't The Expendables sort of like the A-Team?
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, it's more like the A-Team aren't like experts, really. They're like, they shouldn't be experts.
Because, like, my worry is that there's a large crossover. Because what other action stars? Like, what action stars haven't been in The Expendables, really?
I had a weird pick. For the comic relief of the group.
Okay.
Danny McBride.
Oh, okay.
You don't want to see Danny McBride playing across from Jackie Chan? Of course you do.
Yeah.
That sounds
amazing.
But
I hadn't considered him an action star.
No, wait. Seth Rogen was in Observe and Report.
Yeah.
No, he's in it too, isn't he?
Danny McBride is in Tropic Thunder.
I guess also, like, Pineapple Express is an action movie.
Yeah. Hmm. He was more... Yeah, Danny McBride got himself exiled.
So, we have to have at least one female spy assassin person.
Yeah, definitely. Colombiana. So
Colombiana? That's not a person.
The character Colombiana.
Colombiana. Oh, one of, mine would be Benicio del Toro's character in Sicario.
No, that's great. These yeah. are just characters that we're doing. I want Decker from Blade Runner 1 and 2.
What about Becker?
From Becker? Becker?
Yeah.
Ted Danson?
Ted Danson.
Ted Danson.
That would actually be really funny. I could see Ted Danson as sort of that Ian McShane role as the really classy guy who was the old person of the Continental and he got nudged out by McShane.
Yeah, definitely. Ooh. Wesley Snipes.
I said Wesley Snipes before, and I was thinking like Wesley Snipes would be great, but
that would be good.
I think I saw his name trending on Twitter or something for some reason. I don't know. And I think it just got into my head.
Not the Jackie Chan part, but can't you guys actually see something like that being the plot of John Wick 3?
Yeah, because yeah, there's a lot of...
It might be.
There's foreshadowing into like taking that whole system down.
Yeah.
I think during John Wick 2. I gotta watch
John
that
Wick
movie.
Chapter 3.
I love the system. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, like, it's super interesting.
They got like weird gold coins.
I mean, they don't make any sense, but
no, none of it makes any sense at all.
It's weird that like everything costs like one gold coin or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, you need your house rebuilt from scratch? Give me one gold coin.
Oh, you need a coffee? Give me one gold coin.
Oh god. Yeah, but that was my idea. I thought it would be great for some reason if Jet Li was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that might actually be better suited because Jet Li is more brutal than Jackie Chan is. But
yeah.
Jackie Chan in the foreigner mode where he's like no nonsense and kind of gruff would be good for John Wick too. And I bet he would love the diligence that's taken in those movies.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Hmm. Well, let's hope that happens, guys.
Yeah, will you get royalties, or how will that work?
No, I didn't write it. I just thought about it when I was high on tea.
So, but here's the thing. If we have a podcast that's dated to a week from today when this thing gets out, and mm-hmm. then John Wick 3 comes out and Jackie Chan's in it, I think we should sue.
Jackie, it would also be a very old. Do you think they asked Jackie to be in Expendables?
No.
No?
I don't think so. Maybe they did, and he just doesn't want to be. He would be so low on the bill.
Wasn't there somebody else?
It was Jet Li.
It was Jet Li? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, want to hear a weird thing that I've noticed from my Jackie Chan Googlings? I don't know what the fuck this is about. the suggested things that not what when you the autofills, but like lower on the page, like people who search this often search this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you look up Jackie Chan news, which is what I look for any of the J Chan stuff, the third one says, "When did Jet Li die?" That's a question that people are typing, and when you click it, it just takes you to Jet Li's Wikipedia page. There's like no there's no reason for you to think he's dead. Not only that, people wonder when it happened.
Okay, so the reason why they think he's dead is because he's just like, he just fell off the movie scene.
Yeah, he hasn't been in anything. But, I mean,
that's true. He was like the biggest, he was a huge star. He was in all these movies. And then he wasn't in anything until he was in The Expendables because he was washed up at that point, like seemingly from nothing. And then now he's still not in anything.
I thought he wanted to actually retire. I remember hearing that he wanted to retire from action movies.
I wouldn't
Wasn't
be surprised.
He in Cradle to the Grave?
Yes.
That was like 2002.
Okay, so Cradle to the Grave. If he's not,
you can't just
not
keep
movies,
saying it and expect us to know.
Cradle to the Grave means one thing to me and one thing only. It means he was born, he is in movies, and he's going to keep on being in movies until he's in his grave.
But what are you talking about? None of what
Cradle
you said
to
makes...
Grave.
Okay. Let's get on track now, I guess. Sonny's going to handle Chan fiction.
Yeah, let's get
on
into
this
that.
Day.
So the chapter that I read today is immediately after his, it's been a, I think it's, we skipped last week, right? So just as
a
quick refresher, I think where we left off was he had just been made godson of Master Yu, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he had performed, they had gone out and performed at the opera.
That's right.
Yeah.
So now
he was punished for being too proud.
Yeah. So now his whole thing is like he's lamenting being this like there's so much focus on him now since he's the godson of the master. So he like takes everything double because he has higher expectations, right? So this comes after all of that, and the master and his wife are out somewhere right now, and Yun Bao seems to have a stomachache, and this is how it starts. Biggest brother comes over to him, and he's like, "It's Yun Bao," he said. "He's sick. You better come over." Out in the courtyard, a crowd of students were crouched around little brother, who had his hands clenched tightly to his stomach. "What's wrong, Yun Bao?" I said, shaking the sleep out of my head. "My stomach hurts," he said tearfully. "Ah, you probably just ate too much," said Yun Tai. "I saw you cramming cookies in your face at lunch." Yun Long gave second biggest brother a punch on the shoulder. "Shut up, moron," he said. "Master and madam won't be back until late. If the kid croaks, we're gonna be neck deep in crap."
Oh boy.
Again, he's talking like a 90s Italian gangster.
I think he talks kind of like the Tex Avery cartoon of the mobster and the big dumb guy that's his thing. Like, "I don't know, boss.
Yeah.
We're going to be in trouble if the kid dies.
If he croaks."
God, that's a morbid cartoon.
So then they try to, like, figure out ways to alleviate the stomach. Ice cream, said Yun Kwai. Yun Long slapped him in the head. Then Yun Hua spoke up. "He was a thin kid whose mastery of martial arts form had us all in awe." So, they're just like, he keeps adding these characters. We hadn't even heard of Yun Hua before, right? He hasn't even been mentioned?
No, barely at all. He is one of the seven. I can say why he wasn't mentioned, actually, because I just noticed something.
Yeah.
So, before this recording, I couldn't find this chapter in my book, and I thought I gaslighted myself. It comes before what we read 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
And I skipped it. So this is like almost like a flashback. So Yun Hua is mentioned during the Lucky Seven. This is like a little refrain in between.
Okay.
So we're going back in time. Jack in time.
So Yun Hua was a thin kid whose mastery of martial arts form had us all in awe. When we did freeze practice, he'd still be as motionless as a statue long after the rest of us collapsed. He could stand on his hands indefinitely. In fact, once when Master told us to take a break, he kept going, head to the ground, until someone realized he'd actually fallen asleep upside down. He didn't speak a lot, but when he did, we listened. Even Biggest Brother. "I heard that smoking cigarettes was a good way to cure an upset stomach," he said. Other kids quickly chimed in that they'd heard that too. What the fuck? Is that a real thing? Why do kids think that's a thing?
Maybe it makes you shit.
The problem was that the only cigarettes to be found anywhere in the academy were owned by Master and Madam. And so, to save Yun Bao's life, escalated quickly, someone would have to sneak into their room and steal some smokes. So then they like went about discussing who would be the best candidate for a job, and of course, Yun Bao mooned. "I got it," said Yun Long. "Finally, Prince Big Nose will do it." "What?" I sputtered. "Why me?" "He's your best friend," said Biggest Brother. "Besides, figure it this way. If anyone else is caught doing it, you're going to get punished too, right? So why get two people screwed when you can take the heat on your own? I had to admit, the logic was inescapable.
That's actually not a bad point.
Yeah.
After some more half-hearted attempts to pass the bug, I threw up my hands and went back inside. So then he snuck into their quarters, and there's like a whole part where he just like goes in, he steals the smokes, and then then I had a revelation. When they get back, Madame would surely realize the cigarettes were missing, and the jig would be up. But what if I took an entire pack? She'd probably just think she dropped it on the floor. She probably wouldn't even notice it was gone at all. Feeling clever, I just put the pilfered cigarettes back and slid one of the plastic wrap packs off the tabletop into my palm. Holding it concealed in my hand, I tiptoed back out of the room, feeling stupid. It's not like there was anyone to witness my crime, so why was I sneaking around like a thief?
Like a thief.
So he gets back to the group, and, damn, he did it, said Yunlong, seeing me walk forward, the pack held high above my head like a trophy. Didn't think you had it in you, Big Nose. It was a backhanded praise, but from Biggest Brother, it was like honey from a rock.
What?
That's a good saying.
Honey from a rock?
Yeah, because, like, you can't get honey from a rock. It's real hard to get out of it.
You can only get it from a honeycomb. It's the only place you can get it from, I guess, a bee's nest.
I don't see the logic in it.
Honey from rock. He took the pack back from my hand and pulled off the plastic wrapper, tossing it to the ground. Soon, all of us were sitting in a circle in the courtyard, puffing on cigarettes. You and Bao's troubles mostly forgotten in our eagerness to try out this new vice. How's your belly, baby? Said Yun Long to Yun Bao.
Oh, that's another thing to consider. These are like 7 and 8 year old kids. They're like all smoking in a circle. One of them is sick, and they think he's gonna die.
Yun Long was the only one of us who managed to make it look kind of cool. As for the rest of us, one of the younger sisters accidentally burned herself and threw her cigarette away, screaming. Yun Kwai was rolling on the ground, coughing and hacking. Yun Tai couldn't keep his lit and settled for holding it in the corner of his mouth, hoping that the other big brothers didn't notice he was faking. To me, the whole experience was like inhaling car exhaust, but I wasn't going to be the only one to say so. Meanwhile, Biggest Sister, comforting the girl who got burned, told me that smoking was a filthy habit. Ah, we shouldn't be wasting good smokes on girls anyway, I responded, disgusted that she didn't appreciate the glory of my victory. What a huge piece of shit.
Yeah, Jackie's not cool sometimes.
She picked up Little Sister and stalked off to put some soy sauce on the injury. I don't think that's a thing.
What?
I've never heard that before. My parents have never tried to put soy sauce in any of my injuries.
Is it like the salt content?
I guess so.
Is that like the Windex thing from My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
What's the Windex thing?
I don't know. In the My Big Fat Greek Wedding, they have a joke that like the father believes that you can put Windex on anything, like on wounds and stuff, to clear it out and. Like, I don't know.
That's
but that's a fake thing. I've never heard this weird soy sauce thing.
Yeah, he says it so nonchalantly. They were soon followed by Yun Bao, whose face had slowly turned green as he sucked on the smoke. It wasn't long before he bolted from our circle and ran indoors, headed for the kitchen sink. He came back a few minutes later, wiping his mouth on his sleeve. I think I feel better, he said. We broke down in laughter, and he puffed out his cheeks, pouting. Stop it, guys. I told you I was sick. We were all feeling a little queasy by this time, so after declaring that the cigarettes were the smoothest ones we'd ever tasted, we crumpled up the empty pack and carefully picked up stray butts and other evidence of the big smoke out. Ah, nothing like a good smoke before bed, said Yun Tai. You fucking idiots. So then they go to bed, and it was 3 a.m. when we were woken by a pounding on the door to the practice hall. Damn it, Big Nose, we're screwed, muttered Yun Long, kicking his blanket away. I thought you said he wasn't going to figure out we took him. So then Master comes in, and he, like, makes them stand up and, like, line up. So he goes to, like, search all their shit, and pat them down, I guess. He turned back to us and studied the line, examining our faces, each in turn. There was a half-empty pack of cigarettes in his hand. "I thought you said you put the loose ones back," whispered Yun Kwai out of the corner of his mouth, as Master turned his attention to the littlest kids. "I did," I whispered back. "Didn't I?" So he goes through each of the kids and, like, asks them if they know who took them, and then he's, like, caning them as they are being difficult.
I imagine there were lots of times we just lined them up and caned them for arbitrary reasons, asking them questions and just beating these children on the hands and butt.
Master went to Yun Long and looked him full in the face, tapping his cane against one palm. And then Yun Long, in an act of nicotine-fueled courage, asked Master a question. "Master, how do you know they were stolen? Is it possible they just got lost?" Master shook the half-full pack and thrust them into Yun Long's face. "This is not the way Madam keeps her cigarettes," he said, his voice icy. I looked out of the corner of my eye at Master's hand and flinched. Several sticks jutted out of the pack, but instead of familiar tan filters of Madam's fancy American cigarettes, white stubs showed. In my rush to leave the scene of the crime, I'd put the cigarettes back in the pack, upside down.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Now I will repeat myself. Since you seem so interested in how I take care of my property, perhaps you know what happened to it, Yun Long. Who stole my cigarettes? I don't know, he responded. Master quickly struck him 3 times with the cane. He then went to Yun Tai, who answered the same. He too received 3 blows. Next in line was Biggest Sister, who looked furious at being included in this disaster. She was usually the sweetest of girls, always protecting the younger kids and taking care of us when we'd suffered particularly hard beatings. Not this time. Master turned to her, assuming she, like the others, was not going to talk, but as he lifted his stick, she pulled her hands away. "I know who did it, Master," she said. "It was Yun Lo." Her finger pointed directly at me, halfway down the line. Master's gaze followed the accusing digit, and his brow creased in fury. "Girls," I thought to myself, clenching my fist. "Can't trust them worth a damn." Master walked slowly over to me and grabbed me by the shirt. The others watched as he pulled me across the hall and over to the long wooden dinner table. "You know, which hand did you steal with?" he asked. I thought quickly, as if I was going to lose a hand. It might as well be the one I don't use as often. The left, Master," I responded. "Put your left hand on the table," he said. I complied, trying not to shake. Master raised the cane and hit me hard 5 times because the back of my hand was against the hard wooden surface of the table. Each blow felt like a hammer, bruising my knuckles while simultaneously raising thick red welts on my palm. Somehow, I managed not to scream or even wince. Master stopped me before I could turn and walk away. "Yun Lo, which hand did you smoke with?" he said. I closed my eyes and whispered, "My right." Swallowing, I pulled my other hand on the table and took another 5 blows on that palm. Master turned and left the hall. The first day of my princehood was over. Big Sister turned out to be right after all. Smoking really was bad for your health.
Oh, man. Rascal Jackie.
Wait, so this brings up 2 things. Mm-hmm. First, at the beginning of the chapter, he says that Yun Bao was stuffing his stomach full of cookies at lunch.
Yeah, cramming his face. Cookies at lunch? Apparently. Don't they get...
I bet it might have been a care package.
Yeah, it could have been.
Okay, that makes more sense, because I thought they made it a point that they didn't get to eat, like, cookies and stuff. They, like, ate scraps.
I think Jackie would... He said that he would get candy from his parents, and he would get money and candy, and he would eat the candy. So I bet the other kids got candy and stuff, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so that makes sense. Now, 2, personal story. Obviously, this is insane that these people started smoking, like... They smoked at, like, 8 or 10 or something like that?
Yeah.
What? I assume that both of you have smoked a cigarette before, correct?
Yeah.
When was the earliest that you smoked a cigarette? Did you have, like, a crazy, like, like high school or middle school thing where you like got pressured into smoking a cigarette or anything like that?
No, I did it in college.
I did it when I was 20. It's part of an interesting night, I think. I did it like I was at a party and I was pretty drunk, and a kid that I didn't know, I guess I won't say his name, got so drunk that he peed himself on the roof and like passed out, and we all had to carry him down a flight of stairs, and I got pee all over me.
Oh shit.
And
oh
then somebody had a cigarette. I'm like, just give me that fucking thing. I need to fucking have a cigarette. Did you, George? What was your story?
I don't really have a story. I just smoked cigarettes in senior year of high school, and I was like, this is dumb. And then I never did.
Why did you start? You're just like, maybe this will be cool.
No, I was at like a party at a friend's house, and like people were smoking, and they were like,
did Styles make you do it?
This was not a Styles party. This was This was a different subset of friends. I think I probably smoked a cigarette with Styles though. One point.
Yeah, smoking's bad, guys.
Don't do it.
Yeah, smoking is bad, but I'm glad that none of us had a
problem with
10 years old smoking.
Yeah.
No, my grandma said she started smoking when she was 8.
Wow.
But that was Nate. That was in the 30s, I guess.
Oh my god.
She was an old poor Jew. Gertrude Meiselman, just huffing smokes. Oh,
well, they didn't know the problems.
No,
they were
didn't.
Just like
it would be 30 years until that Mad Men episode would come out talking about how Reader's Digest said that ladies would get cancer if they smoked cigarettes. When did you guys start drinking coffee?
College.
Because we're not cool. College, Sonny?
Yeah. I didn't need that shit in high school.
I started drinking coffee when I was like 8 years old.
Me too.
What?
My grandparents were retired and they would bowl at the bowling alley. So whenever I was sick or like school was out of session and my parents were working, my mom would drop me off at the bowling alley. And they have like a coffee set up, so I would make myself coffee with like 1/5 coffee, 4/5 milk, and
heart,
then like
heavy
a bunch of and then like a bunch of sweet and low, and like I drank coffee
that
like all throughout
gross.
My childhood. Oh, it was delicious.
It would be like it's like a sugar milk at that point.
Sugar milk with a little bit of coffee.
How do you guys take your coffee now?
Black mostly.
Black, yeah.
If I want to drink it right away, I'll put a drop of like 1% milk or something like that in there, just to make it a little bit brown. But I don't ever use sugar in it anymore, unless
no
it's shugs. Like a latte.
No shugs. Well, before I was keto, I took it with light cream. But now I'm blacker than the darkness.
Oh my
Should
God.
We talk? Let's get away from this. Should we talk?
Yeah.
Let's forget I said that. Let's talk about Karate Kid.
Oh yeah. We did watch a movie.
What we all came here to do. Good movie.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I agree. I was surprised it ended. Or it started very strangely. Before we do a synopsis, at the first scene in the movie, there's literally, like, it's up on the wall. You know, like one of those things, the height checker?
Yeah, the height chart.
Yeah, the height chart. And the heights of, I can only assume, Jaden Smith's character are on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes up, and it's like, 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, and it says on the wall, it says, "Dad died."
It said, "Daddy died." Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the height he was
when
his
dad
died. Like he checked it the day of.
It's traumatic, Jordan. You don't know what you do. As a member of the Dead Dads Club, remember you do lots of weird things when a parent dies. So I kind of just let it slide.
Oh, really? So you don't think it's illogical?
Why?
I think it's weird, but he was probably, like, 6 years old. And he was probably, like, excited to measure himself, because it's like, I grow, I'm a little boy. It's like, well, sorry, Will Smith died. I'm assuming his dad is Will Smith. And so he was like, I'm going to do it anyway, and then he did it, and it's, like, a horrible thing. It almost makes it feel like it should come back into play more later, because it is such a traumatic-looking thing on the wall.
I thought it was really weird. I thought it was, like, a weird way of doing the exposition of, like,
his dad died. Well, I guess, like, does that ever come into play? I guess he needs another father figure. I don't think this movie would work if he had a dad.
Well, the whole thing is that, like, Jackie Chan is, like, the inverse of his family. Like, he's the yin to their yang or something. Like, they're the mother and son, and Jackie lost his wife and son. So, like, they're, like, the opposite to make... They make each other's halves whole again.
Yeah, it's okay. A nice little story.
It's important in that way. Yeah. I just think that is the weirdest possible way
they
to,
probably
like, communicate that.
They were probably just like, we gotta come up with a way to show that... It's like he's not sympathetic enough, even though he's like a pathetic character at the beginning.
Yeah.
Let's just do something. We can shoot something without him having to be in the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We could cheat that. Because it's like a close-up. He's not in the shot with it, I don't believe. So it's just like a movie magic way to make you feel bad for this kid.
Okay. So right. I guess going to the actual movie, should I do the synopsis? Because I don't think so.
I'm
getting better
time.
At them.
I don't think we have enough time. If you can do it in 3 sentences, you get 3
Ooh.
Sentences again.
Okay.
And
so,
then if not, I'm going to come to the rescue.
Okay. So, boom. Jaden Smith moves to China with his mother, who gets a new job in China. Sentence one. Sentence two. Jaden in talking. Jaden meets a girl at in China who he likes and upsets a local bully and his friends.
Okay.
Two.
Two. Three. Jaden.
You've started every sentence of the synopsis with Jaden.
What's his name? Karate?
No, I'm just no. His name is Dre. But I'm just saying that's not how
Dre.
Like paragraphs work for the most part. But you can.
Yeah.
I want to hear the third sentence.
And then Dre's neighbor slash mechanic. what is he? Handyman? Maintenance man helps him to overcome the problem he's having in his life and learn to really love the new place he's living with fists.
Okay, that's not the worst, Jordan. That wasn't so bad.
Yeah,
I think that might have been your best one so far.
Yeah, I told you, I'm getting better.
I think
one day I'm going to be the best.
What I would say this movie is after moving to Beijing with his mother, an American befriends a maintenance man who teaches him the art of kung fu.
That's only one sentence.
Oh, yeah, that's because I'm really good at log lines. I could do this shit all day.
His mom, played by young Taraji P. Henson.
This is
Proud Mary.
Pre-Oscar.
Proud Mary.
Doesn't she have an Oscar?
I don't know.
Uh-oh.
You might be being
Are you
racist.
Confusing her with Octavia Spencer?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just know... What is Taraji P. Henson in? She's in...
Empire. Probably.
Yeah.
Empire's
the big one.
So does she have something else? I know I've seen her name. I don't think I've seen... Anything
Are you confusing with... her? Okay, I'm just going to assume. Are you confusing her with Octavia Spencer or Viola Davis?
I don't know who either of those people are.
Oh, okay. Viola Davis won for Fences.
No, I saw Fences.
Okay, that's who... Oh, never mind.
Viola Davis. No, from Suicide Squad? How could I confuse those two people?
I don't know.
They look nothing alike.
Doesn't matter. I also like to call Taraji P. Henson Tajiri P. Henson.
After the wrestler?
1997 wrestler who we were talking about not long ago.
Okay.
Oh, no, it was Taka. Taka Michinoku.
Is Octavia Spencer from The Shape of Water?
Yes.
And no, the then I've never seen The Help. Who's in the movie about the space, about NASA?
I think that's Taraji.
Yeah,
P. Henson.
Taraji P. Henson's in that.
I thought
Janelle Monáe
she
is
didn't
that
win.
As well.
She didn't win an Oscar for that movie.
No, yeah. That was a bad movie.
Oh, I thought that movie was good.
I don't remember anything about it.
I didn't see it, but everyone. I thought Taraji P. Henson won an Oscar for that. Don't tell me that I'm confusing people. I know all those people.
Okay.
I just.
Okay, anyway, this Karate Kid is a pretty crazy remake of the original Karate Kid from the 80s with, what was the actor's name?
Ralph Macchio?
Macchio, where Jaden Smith plays Ralph Macchio's character, well, kind of Ralph Macchio's character, and then Jackie Chan plays the Asian Kung Fu master who teaches him how to fight and how to be a man.
How to pick up his stuff.
Yeah. Can we talk, I guess going in order, can we talk about how, like, interestingly sad the setting is for why they're leaving? Like, they're from Detroit, and as they're driving, all the store, like, all of the factories and stores are closed. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, economic turmoil has forced this, like,
broken
family.
Force them to move
family.
To China. It doesn't even force them to move to a different state, like they have to move all the way to China. That's how bad their economic situation is.
Yeah.
That's a little bit crazy.
Yeah. That's wild.
You gotta fly on a plane.
So this movie was, I guess, produced by Will Smith as intended to be, like, a star, make, like, a coming out movie for Jaden Smith.
Yeah.
And he's, like, fine in it, but then he just, like, didn't make any movies after that. Weird.
No,
he,
like, did. He did After Earth.
After Earth.
After Earth is the thing that I think killed Jaden Smith's career. I think he was on an upswing, and then After Earth was a stanker, and then after that was a stanker, Jaden Smith started doing stuff that was weird on.
He's in the Get
social
Down.
Media. Yeah, but does anyone care about him anymore? I think he's just like.
Sonny loves
him.
Are you kidding me?
I love me some Jaden.
He's Sonny's, like, Facebook, whatever.
My cover photo,
like,
right now.
His cover photo.
But isn't that as a joke?
I don't know. Oh, you mean me? No, I certainly agree with that sentiment. I don't know.
What is it? Wait, I'm going to read it. Hold on. I'm pulling you up.
No one make any noise while Jordan looks this up. Did you... What I liked Jaden Smith in this movie a lot.
Yeah.
Actually. I thought he was a good lead.
I got it. Okay. So, from Jaden Smith on January 20th, 2018 at 10:32 p.m., watching films is my life, comma, without it, I could not exist.
That's fair.
Period. It's true. I agree. I thought that was a Sonny original when I first saw it, so...
You think Sonny would... make a tweet that he made himself his Facebook cover photo?
I just saw it posted on his Facebook and I didn't see the author.
I feel Jaden, stop me if I'm wrong here, but Jaden Smith's character, at least at the beginning, felt very much like it could be written for his dad when his dad was a teenager. I felt like he was doing almost like a Fresh Prince impression at points.
Interesting.
Hmm.
I can see that,
like,
yeah.
Like, he was wisecracking, kind of, in a way. Even when he was sort of pathetic, he was kind
of
wisecracking.
Right, and he's, like, standing up for the little guy.
Yeah, the kind of stuff he was saying, like, when he was playing the old man in ping pong.
Yeah.
Like, he was saying stuff that was definitely, like, a Will Smith and Fresh Prince kind of, like, aside. Like... the way that he would, like, he would make little jokes, but...
You couldn't see Will Smith 20 years in the future, I guess from when he was 13, turning on, like, oh, SpongeBob, and then given that face that he makes when he sees that it's in Chinese. Mm-hmm. Like, he, I honestly think that his dad coached him, like, everyone loved me when I was 20, and they still, like, at least kind of like me.
Yeah.
At that point, they liked him more than they do now, in 2010.
Yeah.
But he felt, and he felt very much in that kind of clownish way that Will Smith used to be. Mm-hmm. And I think it was good. I liked it. I like seeing, I think Jaden Smith is a funny kid in this movie.
Yeah, I could see it. I think he was kind of funny. I think there, most of the funny stuff that happened was not, like, said by Jaden Smith. I think there was a lot of other funny stuff that happened that, like, Jackie said or other people said. I don't think most of the laughs in this movie came directly from Jaden.
Yeah, I mean, Jackie pretty much played the straight man. Right, he didn't really.
And then very sad, man.
Yeah, yeah, it got dark for a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I know I laughed a lot in the first act of this movie. I was laughing a bunch. So, I think. Oh, I laughed during the scene when he first gets to Beijing and he meets that kid who disappears. Mm-hmm.
Harry.
Henry. Maybe. But he goes to play. He's like, "You play ball, right?"
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus is like, "Yeah, I play ball." And he throws it over the backboard. He's like, "I got airplane leg."
Yeah, that was very good.
It's messing with my shoulder. Like, that's such a Will Smith line.
Yeah.
You could see Will Smith saying something.
Yeah, in
like
there.
That.
I like how they were able to introduce them to Beijing without really making either of them look super bad. Like, because usually.
Oh, go on.
When. I think a lot of times when American movies go to foreign places, they try to take shortcuts into introducing you into that world.
Mm-hmm.
And here it kind of makes Beijing feel like a normal city like you would find in America. But instead it's just filled with Chinese people.
That was definitely a conscious effort. If you saw, there's like the producers of the movie, like one of the producers, I didn't write it down, but it's like the China production company there's nothing air, all China's filled with all these old buildings, there's only old people, nothing new. Mm-hmm. And then they like consciously make an effort to be like, hey, look, that's where the Olympic stadium is, and it's like this magnificent thing. I think it was like a conscious, like, I think this movie was partially Will Smith trying to like advertise his son and make him into a movie star, and partially like China getting people to be like, move to China. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Maybe. I could see that. It could be like a joint venture. Cause if you notice in the credit scenes, it had the actors with their English names and their Chinese names next to it. So I think it was probably something where Will Smith was half of an executive producer and Jada Pinkett Smith and all these other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, then it was also probably done through the Board of China, which is like still a communist film center. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a friend who is a filmmaker in China, and they probably, a big part of it is like, if we give you money, you got to make China look good. Like, we have to, this comes out in 2010, we got the Olympics in 2012. Let's like show people that China's dope. It'll increase tourism revenue.
Yeah. People are going to see the Karate Kid and they're going to be like, oh, Jaden got to see it. I want to go see the Olympic Village. I want to go there.
Yeah.
Did anyone think that he seemed a little bit young? Like, they really dropped the age of the Karate Kid, like, a lot.
I guess Ralph Macchio was probably, like, a teenager. And
probably 15.
Jaden is, like, 13 in this, maybe?
He doesn't look 13. He says
he's 12.
He looks so young. He looks so tiny.
Well,
like,
he says in the ping pong scene, he's like, "Man, I'm 12." Like, when
he does say that.
So he's just he turns 13 in China, so he could be a young teen. I don't know. Jaden Smith is in tremendous shape for a 12-year-old. That guy has been doing crunches for days.
I mean, he's got the best people in the world.
Also,
that's true.
Also, you want to know what's weird? Do they ever settle why Jackie is afraid of that guy?
What What guy?
The head of the other school. Like, the head of the school.
Oh,
do they
like
ever
the, yeah.
explain why he's afraid of him?
I don't think he's afraid of him.
Oh, he's afraid of him. He, like, he grasps Jaden's hand when the guy puts his hand on him.
Well, it's just that, like, just from the context, you can tell that he doesn't believe in the way he's teaching his kids. So it's not
like
he's
afraid.
Yeah, and
I think he's protecting Jackie.
Oh, I thought he was, like, afraid of him. Like, he didn't want to have to fight him. He, like, really didn't want to have to fight him.
I don't think so.
Because he was like, you either have to fight or I have to fight. Or, like, one of us has to fight. And then the guy puts his hand on Jaden and then, or on Jackie. And then Jackie, like, consciously makes an effort to, like, grasp. It looks like he's afraid. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only person who got that.
You might be right. I know the scene you're talking about. I don't know, George. That's something to think about. I mean, there's a good chance that shit got cut. Like, there was more of a story between the two of
them.
But it's certainly not substantiated in the film.
Also, this movie actually has no karate in it. It's all kung fu.
Should we call the Kung Fu Kid?
The Kung Fu Kid.
Well, you can't sell a remake of the Karate Kid as the Kung Fu Kid.
Yeah.
So,
no, you can't. So should we like start running down some things, like what happens, and if anything comes to mind, we can stop and deep dive it.
So
oh, this is the scene that made me laugh really hard. So when Taraji P. Henson and Jackie are leaving they're from Detroit, and they're on the airplane.
On the plane? I love
the airplane,
this scene.
She's trying to learn Chinese, like as anyone would that's going to be an immigrant to a new country, and she tries to teach him how to say, like, what's your name, I guess? Is that
Hi, how are you? What's your name?
What's your name? And so Jaden goes across the aisle to, I assume, a Chinese man and says it to him in Chinese. And the guy looks at him and he just goes, I'm from Detroit, man. And he's like, yo, what's up? What's up?
Yeah, it's very good.
That's such a Will Smith thing to do. This movie was written for Will Smith, and then he was too old. He was a karate man. So from the airplane, they get to China. Things are different.
China, Dre immediately meets, like, the only English-speaking, or, like, the only American boy. They don't even explain why that guy, like, speaks perfect English.
I don't know, because in that school, in a lot of the school that he goes to, and a lot of the cafeteria scenes, or one cafeteria scene, there's a lot of white people there.
Yeah. Is there?
Maybe they...
Like,
Beijing is a massive city. I'm sure there are just, like, English schools for, like, kids from, like, transplants from America or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's my hot take. Yeah. Is that the car company that Tajiri P. Henson was working for, they had to close the Detroit plant, and they transferred their employees from Detroit over to wherever the Beijing place was.
Oh,
so a lot of these people are employees of this company,
right.
And therefore their kids are all in the same district to go to school together.
Yeah, that's super fucked up.
There's no way why would they go so out of their way to show Detroit in financial ruin if there wasn't, like, a purpose to it? Like, I think that there's a lot in there. And then this shit with Jackie, this is skipping, but, like, Jackie Chan has the car in his house.
Yeah.
Like, there's something going on with the auto industry in this fucking movie, and I don't know what it is.
Huh.
Somebody pick up where I put it down.
So, yeah, he gets attacked by the bullies because he talks to the violinist girl. And he gets beat up, and one of them, the main dude, is, like, really good at kung fu, so he, like, kicks his ass with it. And then...
It is a brutal beat.
The punches land pretty hard for, like, these children.
These are children beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
It's fucking violent as hell.
And then he gets them back at some point. He, like, throws fish blood on them or something? Or some sort of blood on them? On, like,
yeah,
on a passing truck.
It's like an alleyway where, like, water is dripping into like a gross thing.
Yeah.
And he throws it at them. But that is much, much later.
It's like 20 minutes later, yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah, they're...
I guess everything else is just like, he meets Jackie, who's the maintenance man of their apartment, and... what else happens before then?
There's a lot of, like, building tensions at the school.
He's getting bullied at school, too.
Yeah, the bully is, like, he thinks that this is just a bully that he has to deal with just on the playground, or,
right.
But he goes to school and the bully's there. He's getting him in trouble at school. He can't escape him. And then they go on a trip, and the whole time he's on the field trip, he's like hiding behind, like hiding near the teacher so that he can't like get the crap kicked out of them.
They go to the fucking Forbidden City.
Yeah.
That's dope. Like, they totally did, like, this movie made some things in China look dope as
fuck.
Yeah. Like, really cool. They really make it look beautiful in a lot of ways, like, a very scenic place, and then it makes the cities look alive. It probably is. Like, Beijing is a massive city. I'm sure they didn't have to work hard at all to do it.
That mountain
thing? It actually kind of made me want to go to Beijing, so, like, mission accomplished.
The mountain thing that they have to climb later in the movie to, like, drink from the fountain... is awesome.
Yeah, it's great. And the other thing, and this is like I think my favorite shot in the movie, is when he's with Tajiri P. Henson and there's eating lunch and he like runs to the giant martial arts academy where they're all doing kung fu in the garden or whatever, like in the front yard, and it's just like a sweeping shot of everybody doing the thing. It was so well done. His movie is shot really, really well, and I think it's like Will Smith doesn't skimp on the money, baby. Nope. He gets them to the best.
This is $40 million. That's like a good, solid budget for this movie.
Probably got real cheap. Probably like goes far in China too. Yeah. Like I bet a lot of it was Chinese crews. To rent space is probably really cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like There
are a lot of really cool scenes. I think my favorite scene that is a fighting scene in this movie is when Jackie has to fight off the pack of children, which happens right after the fish blood incident. Dre throws the blood or the water on the, I think, unnamed bad guy. I can't recall what his name was.
I don't
was.
Think they talk about it.
He has a name because they show it on the board in the Kung Fu. It's like, it honestly might be like Chang or something like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't distinct to me.
Yeah. I think you're right about that. I think it was Chang. But we don't know his first name. But.
Or Sonny.
Sonny? So he finally gets like cornered in this back alley, and the bad guy is like kicking really
he's
like going ham. He and so badly that the other kid steps in, and he's just like, "Hey, you should stop." And like he's just like, "No." Master says like, "No pain, no giving up, no mercy."
Yeah.
And he's gonna like kill Dre, and he turns back to go like finish the job, and Jackie like out of nowhere like comes in, blocks his hand,
like get that shit, and
then like he just says go home, and the kids are like, okay, I guess there's an adult here, maybe we should, and then they start like trying to fight him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand crazy. What their goal is.
to jump an old man, pretty much.
But he does some, like, he starts, like, just, like, kind of, like, blocking and, like, moving out of the way and doing some really cool, like, what we know best about Jackie, kind of his ability to, like,
parry,
stop people's he, like, stops people's advances without trying to hurt them, but later... He just, like, has to start doing it. Like, he just makes a conscious effort, and he starts, like, punching people or throwing them onto the floor.
Yeah.
It's, like, there's one point when I think he's using one child's body to, like, hold off three other children's bodies, mm-hmm. like, all at the same time. I thought that was a really fun scene.
I thought in the scene he doesn't throw punches. He, like, uses the kids to punch each other in the face.
Yeah.
Like, he dodges and then they punch each other. Like, he wouldn't punch a kid, I don't think.
But he tosses them.
He uses their momentum against themselves, which I think is not such a bad thing.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Like, he's not just, like, judo tossing these children around the courtyard.
They still tell their master that he was the one that beat them up. So it doesn't matter I think if they went to the police and they said, like, and Jackie was like, no, I didn't beat them up. I just used their momentum against themselves. I think he'd still be in prison.
It'll be pretty bad, yeah. So because of that, they go to their master, and Jackie and Dre go to, what's Jackie's name? Is it Wu? I don't remember.
Mr. Han.
Mr. Han, thank you. Han and Dre go to, for whatever reason, the Kung Fu school. And because, like what Jordan was talking about before, they're both challenged to fights.
Yeah.
And what Jackie decides to do is say, Dre will enter this big martial arts tournament. You can fight him there. It's in, like, however many mm-hmm. months. And then that kind of sets the real movie in place, which is, like, all of these fucking movies about training a kid in a martial arts style.
Well, so also the whole, like, philosophy of the rival school or whatever is that their master teaches them to take no mercy and just basically just kick the
fuck faces
out of everyone. Yeah.
We walk in, and right before Jackie, Mr. Han talks to the master, we see two kids fighting, and one kid, like, has obviously won the fight. Like, mm-hmm. there's no question. He's standing above the other kid, and he, like, stops himself, and the master's like, what are you doing? Finish it.
Yeah.
So the kid, like, punches the other kid in the back of the head, like, gives him, like, a crazy haymaker. And then the master still comes over and, like, backhands him to oblivion. This school is, like, the cruelest, most, like, horrible school imaginable of young sociopaths.
Yeah. They're pretty bad.
Yeah, it's rough. So then we get, like, the whole big thing with the original Karate Kid was wax on, wax mm-hmm. off. Which somehow taught him kung fu, and then Jackie teaches him to hang up his jacket because he
keeps leaving messes.
Jaden being because Jaden has a really bad he's in really bad spirits because he hates this move, he hates China, he's like, it makes sense, I would hate it too if I was living like how he was, just like displaced and everyone beat the shit out of me. But Jackie tries to improve his mood and teach him respect, and then when he does, he teaches him the art of, I think I learned Jackie's kung fu style is Hapkido. Hapkido? How do you pronounce that?
I don't know. Anybody? I don't know what the specific one is.
Or Hokkaido? He and Sammo both learned it. But, yeah, I want to go more into that. I'll learn more about Jackie's specific martial arts training at some point. Not just the drama training.
Do you think Jackie took some inspiration for, the master of the other bad school from his own training and his own master?
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, do you think he took some of his understanding of what it meant to be, like, a crappy, abusive master from his own childhood?
No, I don't, because I think he was a good master. Like, he was patient and, like, trying to teach respect and not abusive. I think he actually took stuff from his dad, believe it or not. I think he kind of looked like his dad. Like, he had the mustache, and his dad was a maintenance man. Like, that was what his profession was. Well, aside from spy, he was like a maintenance man at the peak. Like, he would do all those things. I wonder if Jackie was sort of thinking about his dad in some ways when he did it.
Yeah.
Since this is, like, a weird movie about, like,
sons
father
and dads.
Figures. Sons of Daughters.
Yeah, that's where the temple was. Like, he trained with his dad in the temple in the mountains. And yeah. That's where they found the woman doing the cobra stuff.
There's, like, some real interesting shit in this movie.
Yeah, there really is.
I think... The movie's 2 hours and 20 minutes, which is really long. I think it was a 3-hour cut. And I bet the 3-hour cut is fucking dope. But it's 3 hours, so, and you can't have a movie.
There is an alternate ending to this where Jackie and the other master fight.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. Like, where?
So
when?
What happens is the
beginning of the movie.
when Lee, the other master, tries to hit the kid because he lost, and Jackie Ooh. Appears and, like, stops it. And then that's when they fight.
Like, where is this happening?
I don't know.
Like,
in the tournament, yeah.
In the tournament?
They're just like, oh, adults
fighting
now.
The police
now.
Be called?
No, they're just, hey, we got two guys fighting at this kung fu tournament.
We're at, like, a clearly unsanctioned kung fu tournament with closed fist punching and, like, chokeholds.
Just
like,
kicking
I think
each other in the face.
Well, that if you kick somebody in the face, you get disqualified.
They did chokeholds and didn't get disqualified.
They did take away that one thing that everybody makes fun of the Karate Kid about, the first one.
Which?
That they say that, like, you're not allowed to kick, and then, like, he wins the fight with a kick or something like that. I've never seen the Karate Kid, so I can't confirm or deny.
I didn't know that was a thing. You can't. You're not
Me
allowed
either.
To kick.
He also does kick Chang in the face to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Just like a Pele or whatever.
It was sick. I freaked out. I jumped out of my I like on my couch. I screamed, this is awesome at that point. But to go back, let's. Like, what happens in between? He has some beef with. Not beef, but he and this violin girl kind of are hitting it off.
Yeah.
I don't know her name. Her parents don't like him because he's, like, a bad...
Well, he makes her, like, late to her concert. But it's not his fault because he thinks it's... She thinks
That's a very contrived thing to create conflict.
Yeah, that's bullshit. That was...
Yeah.
Oh, they...
I didn't understand.
I mean... Chinese people take their violin very seriously.
Did you play violin,
No, I played
Sonny?
The cello.
No brass for you guys, though. So that's happening. At the same time, Taraji P. Henson is, like, inviting Mr. Han sort of into the family, and they start doing things together and while this is training. And do Han and Taraji P., unless I, like, went to the bathroom, did they ever, like, kiss or anything?
No,
like
I don't
that?
Think that was ever a thing.
Yeah. I don't think it's, like... I don't think it's that kind of relationship. I think
they want what's good for this kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a That's father like figure, that. Not like a new father.
He's also way older than her. He's like a 70-year-old maintenance man who lives in a shed. And she's like a 30-year-old woman.
He also says that he's his best friend. Is that weird to anybody else?
That who says that?
At the
that?
End of the movie, he's Dre says to Han, like, you're the best friend I've ever had.
I mean, I don't know. He seems like a lonely kid.
Sorry, kid that, like, tried to give me back my skateboard at the beginning, who was clearly my best friend. Now Jackie Chan's my best friend. No, that felt disingenuous. I agree with that, Jordan. What did you guys think about the training, the actual training montage that we get? Like, not even the jacket on, jacket off, like the straight up learning kung fu shit that we get. Like the two poles that he does.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think that's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
I think all of these movies kind of fall short when it comes to training montages. I'm never super interested.
What's your
interested
ideal
in
training
that.
Montage, Jordan?
Yeah, that's a great question because I like this one.
Rocky IV. Ideal training montage.
That was, like, outrageous.
It's got a sweet soundtrack. It's got crazy stuff that doesn't make any sense. I don't want to see, like, just, like, I don't know. I thought the training montage was really just subpar. It didn't do anything for me. They,
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm, I don't know, easily uninterested in training montages.
I don't think you like Kung Fu that much.
No, I do like Kung Fu. I like the actual fights and stuff. I just think that training montages are kind of lame. Like,
I really like the how it starts, where after we learn the tragedy of Jackie Chan's character about how his family died.
Yeah.
Which is really weird, kind of left field. But they do the Taraji P. Henson looks at the shadows that training.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
On the wall. That was cool. A great shot. There's like some A-plus shots in this movie.
I dig it.
There's some great cinematography. And then the actual montage I thought was fun, because Jaden Smith legit learns how to fucking do martial arts.
That was also a good moment when he was like, Jackie's all sad, and he brings the arm things over to him to train. He's like, let's do this arm thing.
You and I are one. Like, we're here for, I'm here for you. I'm holding you up with these things that you hold me up with. Wow, what a good movie.
I have a question. I have a question about the car thing. So, Jackie every year fixes the car.
Yeah.
And then breaks it again?
Yeah, I think that's
I guess.
So he breaks it, like, completely, and then spends the year fixing it back up to where
to
it needs to be, and then he just, on that one day every year, he just breaks it
down
again.
I mean, the details aren't all there, obviously, but I imagine that, that's just, like, an obsessive thing.
Okay, I don't know. I think that's weird. I mean, maybe I don't understand it because I haven't experienced like a tragic loss of like a son or a father or a wife. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. It just seems kind of bonkers.
it both seems extreme kind of and very inconvenient.
Yeah.
But I understand it's his way of grieving. And so like he lost his kid and he lost his whole family. So I'm kind of able to suspend any amount of disbelief for that. And it's cool that he has a car in his house. Like, that's fun.
Well, no street parking. I laughed at that.
That was good.
No street parking. I guess after the martial arts thing, there's just the tournament, which is the end of the movie.
They
do the
thing
where he shows up to the girl's house with the letter. That was a good moment.
Yeah.
Which I assume Jackie wrote for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it just when he's reading it in Chinese, is he just reading it phonetically? Like Jackie?
I have no idea, actually. Like, that puzzled me in the moment because I'd imagine it has to be.
Well, it could be that. It could be that he's reading it phonetically from a letter, but it could be kind of like he learned it. Like, he learned everything. Just to say that one part, with the same discipline and dedication that he's used to do his kung fu training.
Yeah,
that's a good point, Jordan. I think that's what they want us to believe more than Jackie like wrote out what the syllables would be in English and things like that, which is like a cheat sheet. I didn't like this violin girl very much. Because I was thinking, not that I didn't think she was a nice character, I just would think if I was 13 years old, would I want to date this girl? And I wouldn't want to date this girl at all.
Really? I probably would.
It's a Will Smith thing. It's like a hey, you're in a new place, you're going to find a girl who you're gonna want to date. Like you have to be a player. You have to like always go and find the woman, and it's like a very Will Smith archetype kind of thing.
Firstly, this little girl, I think she's 19 years old, first of all. I don't believe that she's 12.
I think she looks like she could be probably like 15.
I'm gonna look this up.
She seems older than Dre.
Does she? I don't know. I didn't think it was that big of a disparity.
She was born in 1995,
so she's like 20 something.
She's She's 3 years older than him.
Yeah.
So if she was born in 1995 and 2010, she's 15 years old.
Yeah.
So what year was he born in?
1998.
Okay, so he's 12. And,
yeah, what are you thinking?
Yeah, okay, so she's 15 and he's 12.
Yeah. Okay, so since she's 15, weird. I'm not going to feel that bad about talking about that. One, no junk in the tank. That's why I wouldn't want.
I don't know if there's been any shots. There were any shots of that where you could.
One, I need, if you want me to be attracted to a woman in a movie, you got to give me junk in the trunk. Okay.
Nobody wants you to be attracted.
Yeah, I don't know.
Two, your character.
Two, she can't be a teenager.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Second, yeah, that should be first.
That should be two, first.
First should be she needs to be of consenting age. And then some. Two, no drunk in the trunk. Three, I don't like my leads, my female love interests in movies to be studious. I like them to be full of junk in the trunk and like comedy, personally. So this girl did not do it for me.
I think that if you look at like the Fresh Prince of Bel Air, he was always, even though he was like always a slacker and not doing anything, all the women that he was with were all studious and smart, and like he just was able to get by on charm, and they liked him because he was charming. And
but
they were
full of sass too and spunk. This girl's no
spunk.
This
girl had no spunk.
She had spunk.
This girl played violin. I was gonna say that. This girl played classical violin. She had no spunk. She listens to Bach in her spare time. Can you imagine that? You're dating somebody who is 12 and she's like, I like listening to Bach in the
15.
Park by myself.
She's 15.
Okay, well, the character is 12.
Well, her family, they are very obsessed with her doing that, with being a classical violinist and becoming famous. There's a lot of people in this movie, both young children and people in their teens, i.e. the girl, who are out there touching black people's hair.
Oh yeah, oh,
yeah. Talk about that.
That is a constant occurrence of this movie.
But like,
yeah, I totally forgot.
So this is a bit of a weird thing, hair? But it's is it offensive removed from American context?
What, like what do you mean? Like, would a person still, how would they feel?
Well, no. Not how would they feel. Like, obviously it sucks, but there's 0% that anyone in China understands the implications of what that means.
Yeah, that's how I thought about it too. Like, it's one of those things. It's a cultural difference where I guess it's just
like, yeah.
It probably wouldn't be a topic of conversation because there aren't enough black people in Asia to really like warrant not objectifying them in that kind of harmless way, semi harmless way. I don't know.
I think it's true. I think the movie brushes it off. Like, Jaden is just like, he's like, that's weird when the girl asks him to do it. And then, but because he likes her, he's okay with it.
Sure.
Which I'm not gonna say one way or the other. He's like a 12-year-old boy. And I think with Taraji, I think when it happens to her, she's just like almost mobbed by a bunch of like very tiny kids. They're like either 4 or 5, so I don't think that she would, I doubt that somebody would be offended by that. Like, I don't know, it's, I think you're making a good point. I'm just, it's strange. I don't think you could put that in a movie in 2018. I don't think you would want to
probably
put
not
that in a movie in 2018.
I probably wouldn't want to put it in my movie unless it was specifically about that, some sort of kids trying to touch black people there. But it was like, I mean, I kind of laughed at both times. I thought that it was played like for comedy in a way where it's like, look how weird and different this place is. It's sort of to highlight the cultural differences more than just be like, black people have different hair.
Because they like,
they're different.
They react the same way with when they're like just really tall. If, like, if you're a basketball player in China, you just get mobbed constantly.
If you're Yi Jinlan,
is that the guy from the Rockets?
You're good. No, that was Yao.
No,
Ming.
No, the new there's a new guy. Oh, Zhu Ji.
Yeah, Zhu Ji. Yi Jinlan was like 2004. Okay. He was a little after Yao. Sorry. No, but that's a good. That was a good observation, Jordan.
Are we missing anything from this movie?
I don't think so. I think next is just the tournament, right?
Yeah, next is just the tourney, bro.
And the kid learns.
The bad kid?
Bad kid. He learns.
Yes, he's got to get his ass kicked. Strength of will. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, how good were those fight scenes?
Yeah.
I thought they were great.
They were awesome.
Yeah. Very impressed.
They were better. The Jaden fight scenes were better than the Jackie Chan like fight scene because there were fewer cuts. I think that it was like better choreographed.
Yeah,
they learned it as dancing.
It reminded me of even though this came before it, of the fight scenes in Creed, a little bit because they're like in the ring,
oh,
just like
fuck.
Yeah.
No.
Yo, this movie and Creed are both in the club, honorary club of movies that are better than they have any
for sure.
Obviously, Creed is a better movie than this.
Definitely.
But this movie, when I sat down to watch, I'm like, it'll probably be like kind of dumb and like a kid's movie, but I'm sure it'll have enough value. I'm like, I enjoyed this movie. I would probably watch this movie if it was on TV and I had nothing else to do. But I had no
interest to see it when it was in theaters, but
me too.
I seeing it now, I thought it was pretty good. It definitely.
Yeah.
I will say that Jaden did want a lot of trouble.
Oh yeah, he went bit extra on
like,
the trouble.
He's a fresh prince.
Yeah, he definitely is. He takes after his father.
So fresh.
R.I.P. on the wall.
Oh man. Okay, I guess if we're gonna do the final scores for this movie,
well,
out of
so
five, oh,
I found the clip to the alternate ending on YouTube.
There's a
clip. It's the whole thing.
They actually filmed
it exists.
Oh my god.
So do we want to watch it and then like cut here and then come back and talk about it?
Let's talk about it next
week.
Okay,
yeah, let's do that.
I
know we're doing Chan Boys After Dark.
Oh yeah,
it's
getting
pretty
late.
Dark.
I didn't realize how much
Did we even tell the listeners that this is Chan Boys After Dark?
I'm gonna do it in the edit at the top of the show. I'm gonna say if we get a little silly, it's Chan Boys After Dark, and it's past our bedtime. Or I won't do it. I don't care.
Well, it's here now, so.
I'll give this 3.5. Jackie Chan Doesn't Want Any Troubles out of 5.
I was going to give it 3.5 also.
I was probably going to give it a 3.
Yeah, I think it's in that range. It's totally serviceable.
I thought it was pretty enjoyable. It's nowhere near close to, like, the really great Jackie Chan movies that we've watched. But it's definitely not just your run-of-the-mill average piece of duty.
But that was Karate Kid 2010. I really do wish there was a sequel to be
honest. Me too.
With you.
It's frankly really weird that there isn't. I think I don't know.
Yeah, all right, let's close this shit out with the jack off again. We're gonna do two ones. We're gonna do two. They're both going to be worth, at most, 3 points each.
So 3, then 2, then 1 each?
Yes, that's how it'll work.
Okay.
All right. So we
and
all know the rules of the
to
jack.
To clarify, Sonny is up 1 point.
Sonny is up 1 point.
Okay.
Okay. I drink your milkshake.
Chaniel Day-Lewis.
Ah!
Chaniel Plainview.
Jordan, do you have... suddenly you had your
guess.
Oh,
I don't get more than one?
Wait.
Gonna need something, Jordan. Sonny, you are awarded 3 points for saying Chandler Plainview. Jordan whiffed.
Oh my god.
He whiffed hard on it after you said it.
Yeah, I was gonna say it. I don't know.
I specifically cut Sonny off because he gave two answers. The second
There's no rules to this. So, okay, each clue, clue you give, we can only answer once, right? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. It's like Jeopardy. Yeah, okay. All right. This one is also worth 3. Oh, this is weird. I don't know. Okay. I was married in a movie. This is a movie one, or like an actor one.
Okay.
I was married to Julianne Moore in a movie. Guys. It is not Alec Baldwin in 30 Rock.
Julianne Moore's been in a lot of movies. Character.
Yeah, okay, should we move
on? A Simple Chan.
No, that's actually not a bad one, but that's... first of all, it's a single Chan.
A single Chan.
Was what you meant, but it's not that.
Okay.
Okay, next. I was married to Kevin Spacey in a movie.
What?
I think I know who the person is.
Okay.
Wait, no. Maybe I don't.
All right. I am... Okay, for 1 point now. I am the star of 20th Century Women.
Chanette Benning.
Sonny Chang, you have won both rounds of the jack-off.
Damn.
Wait, what movie was she married to Julianne Moore in?
Is it The Kids Are All Right?
Oh,
The
Kids Are All Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew the movie, I just didn't know the name of the actress.
Oh, sorry.
And I knew it was, I thought it was that one, so.
Yeah. Damn. And then the Kevin Spacey one is American Beauty.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Sonny is now up 5 points.
Damn.
After Jordan rallied back from like the ends of the earth, Sonny has put the foot on his throat.
Yeah, well, I'll jack get a six, off. I'll get a 6-pointer next week or something.
Okay, let's see if I can get, if I can, like, it's hard to come up with 6-pointers, to be honest with you. I've kind of, like, exasperated all of them. It takes me 20 minutes to think about this.
Yeah, I guess it would be pretty hard, like, actually, now I think about it.
I just go like, okay, what rhymes with Jackie? What rhymes with what? Like, what can I have? What names have both of them? And it's really difficult to do.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, this has been. Oh, Jordan, it's your turn for the movie.
Oh, I get to pick.
Yes, you can't pick Rush Hour.
Let's see. I kind of want. Are we at the point where we're going back and watching sequels to anything?
If you want to, I guess we can. I feel like there's still a lot of stuff
left.
We
still have a lot of stuff. Is watching The Foreigner too crazy?
Are you guys able to find it? I'll watch it.
I think it probably is.
I just don't know if...
Is it in Redbox? I feel like it's definitely in Redbox.
It would have been... I don't know if it's a big enough movie to be in Redbox.
You don't think that The Foreigner is available in Redbox? That's crazy. Of course, they have all the movies.
You can watch it on YouTube for $5. So I'll do The Foreigner again.
That's a little bit more than I'm willing to spend.
I mean, yeah. I don't mind, but
yeah,
we can pick a different one. That's
no, I don't really care. I was kidding. I'll watch The Foreigner if you guys don't think it's too recent. Like, do we want to allow people to like be able to watch it more easily if they want to watch along?
Yeah, maybe we don't do The Foreigner then.
Until it's, like, available on wide.
Yeah, because it's still, like, very... It's still primo prices for... It's not even on Amazon yet.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So, instead...
I like the thought, though, George.
Instead, I will say that... What's a nut? Are there any other ones from, like, when we were children besides Rush Hour and, like, Shanghai Nights? Can you think of anything in, like, the Jackie Chan career?
The Medallion.
No, we watched all those bad movies.
Yeah, a lot of the bad ones.
No, we kind of have exasperated them.
So, let's... Is there, like, an old one that's in, like, a Project A kind of, like, that same realm and that same, like, goodness?
Oh, there was that one that came out recently that was a period piece, like 1911 or whatever it's called.
1911?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
2011?
Oh. I don't know. Oh, there's something called The Forbidden Kingdom, 2008.
Yeah.
I've seen that one.
The Forbidden
Kingdom?
Yeah,
The Forbidden Kingdom is, like... It's based on a bunch of, like, old Chinese myths.
Oh, it's got Jet Li in it. We gotta do it.
Oh, I'm in.
Okay, cool.
It's $2 on YouTube.
I'll have a lot to say about that one, too, because it's based on stories I was told a lot when I was younger.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome,
Sweet.
Sonny.
That's awesome. So, I have a question. Are we gonna have to watch... the Lego Ninja movie?
Ninjago?
He's Master Yu and Master Lu.
Yeah. We could also watch Kung Fu Panda 1 through 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to do every single movie and then also Jackie Chan Adventures at points.
Yeah.
Which is not available for streaming anywhere. Oh, well. This is off podcast talk. We're literally just doing like the logistics of future episodes right now.
Well, hey, sometimes people want some of that inside baseball.
It's true. I love baseball in a dome. I love the Houston Astros.
So on that note, let's say goodbye to all those listeners out there in listener town.
Yeah guys. Thank you for listening. Hold on.
Oh, also, make sure that you like us on Facebook or follow us there. Find us on Twitter. We are at Chansplaining Podcast, or we're the Chan Pod on Twitter. At Chansplaining Podcast on SoundCloud. Rate and review us in the iTunes store. We would love you forever if you do, and continue to do that cool stuff. And
it looks like you were the Karate Kid all along. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Bye.
Music. Music. Fan. You. Fan. You.